Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
James chapter 4 and in verse 8, it says, "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you." Now you think, well, you know, God is everywhere. And that was my question. I remember years back I read that and I thought, well, now God's everywhere. So how can I draw near to God if he's right here. He's as close as the breath I breathe. And he's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He's all around. How can I draw near to him, get any closer to him? And how can he draw near to me? Sounds like there's some distance between us. So I prayed about that and I got a revelation that the Lord is here, but can we see him right now? Can we feel him? No. Can we hear him audibly? No. He's here, but he's here specifically in the Spirit. He's in this unseen realm around us in the Spirit. We're here in this physical realm. We have these physical bodies. We live in a very physical, natural world. So the revelation I received from the Lord is that if we'll draw near to him where he is in the Spirit, then he'll draw near to us where we are in the natural, in the physical. In other words, he'll manifest himself to us. Manifest himself in the form of whatever we need him to be. Strength, peace, joy, wisdom, whatever we need in life, it's all in him. So when he draws near to you, your answer manifests. Your answer is manifesting. So we need to draw near to him. In other words, we need to move into the Spirit. We need to become more conscious of spiritual things. And that's what God wants. He wants our spirit, or we could say he wants our heart. Because spirit and heart are two words that are used interchangeably throughout the Word of God. So God wants our spirit. He wants our heart. He wants us to draw near to him. He doesn't want us to just come to him in the natural. And he doesn't want to just stay in the Spirit. He wants us to come into the Spirit, and he wants to come over into the natural. He wants to manifest himself. He's not content with just being in the Spirit. We shouldn't be content with just being in the natural. So we want to draw near to God where he is, so that he can draw near to us where we are in this world. So when we're talking about praying to God, which is drawing near to God, God is not just looking for us to petition him. He doesn't just want our petitions. He wants our person. He wants our person. He wants who we are. And we are spirits. We're not bodies. We're not just natural. We're spirits, and we live in a body. So God doesn't want just natural petitioning of him. Petitioning him for natural things. He wants us drawing near to him. In other words, he wants our person. He wants our heart. And the same is true when it comes to faith or comes to believing. God doesn't just want our believing. Because there are a lot of Christians. There are a lot of believers in the world. But he doesn't just want our believing, he wants our being. Again, what's that? He wants who we are. He wants the core of our being, which is our hearts, which is our spirit. Our spirits need to come to him. We need to come to him with our heart, not just with our voices. Not just with our hands, not just with our works, not just with our actions. He wants our heart. Remember, Jesus said there are those that draw near to him in the natural. They give him lip service. They say all the right things. They praise him and they worship him with their lips, but their hearts are far, far from him. Think about that. You can be giving him lip service. Your lips can be it. You can be saying all the right things. You can even be doing all the right things, and yet your heart not be right. Your heart not be where God wants it to be. God's not just looking for our actions. He's not just looking for our words. He's not just looking for our service. He's just not concerned about you serving him. A lot of people, you know, become ministry-minded and they just want to serve God. They think that's what God's looking for. But God's not looking for you to serve him. He wants you to surrender your life to him. Not just serve, but surrender. Surrender your entire being to him. Because you could just serve him outwardly. You can do, again, all the right things. And yet, he doesn't have your heart. But he wants us not just to serve, but to surrender. A lot of people are serving, but not a lot of people are surrendered. And we want to be surrendered. There are many who serve in ministry, but who are rebellious at heart. Just because they are doing a lot of godly things, that doesn't mean they're godly. A lot of people, they substitute godly works for actually being godly. Yielded to God. Because you can't be godly, godlike, unless you're yielded to God. Only God can be God, and he wants to be God through you. When God is God through you, that's when you are godly. That's when you're like God. Because it's God that's coming through. It's God that's flowing through you. So God, he wants your heart, not just your help. He wants our help. He wants us to serve him. He wants us to get out there and share the good news with people. That's helping him, but he doesn't just want our help. He wants our heart. Helping God is good if it comes from a heart overflowing with God. See, we don't want to just help God. We want to overflow with God. And that's where ministry begins. That's where serving God is to begin. Ministry is to be, or serving God, helping God, is to be out of the overflow of being filled with God. He is to fill our entire being as we give our entire being to him. You overflow with him when you fill your life with him. That's what he's looking for. I'm just telling you what he's looking for. He's looking for you to fill your life with him, being filled with what he has for you, or his plan for your life, is not the same as being filled with him. A lot of people are out looking for the plan of God for their life. They're out there, they're concerned about doing God's will. Well, thank God for doing God's will. Thank God for finding his plan. But God wants us filled with him. That is really his plan for you and I, and everything flows out of that. Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." How many want the perfect will of God for your life? The perfect will of God. Well, what is the perfect will of God? Well, many times when you talk about the perfect will of God, people think in terms of what they're to do. What does God have for me to do? What's God's plan for my life? What's his perfect will for my life? In other words, what am I supposed to do in life? Where am I supposed to be working? Who am I supposed to be married to? Am I supposed to be married? Man, what's God's perfect will for my life? But we have to understand that, again, God's more interested in your heart than in what you're doing and what you have. He's more interested in your heart than your works. And really, really, we have to understand that his perfect will for your life is you having a perfect heart towards him. That's his perfect will. To have a perfect heart towards God. But again, where do we think? We don't think heart. We think help, serve, ministry, work, business, job. What am I? I want to do the will of God. I want to walk in that perfect will of God. Then have a perfect heart before God. And that's his perfect will. That's his perfect will for your life. A perfect heart. Because that's what he's concerned about. That's what he's interested in. That's what he's looking for. Again, draw near to him with your heart. He wants your heart coming to him. He wants your heart. He doesn't just want your service. He doesn't want just your works. He doesn't just want your petitioning. He wants your heart. And then petitioning him and helping him and serving him comes out of a heart that is full and overflowing with him. Does God have your heart? You could be a faithful worker, but a disloyal person at the same time. I said you could be a faithful worker, but a disloyal person at the same time. I'm going to say it one more time. Really get this. You could be a faithful worker. Faithful. Everybody say faithful. Faithful. You could be a faithful worker, but have a disloyal heart at the same time. We got an example of that over in 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 1. It says, Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoadan of Jerusalem. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. But not with a loyal heart. Now notice that. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord. That's being faithful. He did all the right things. He did exactly what the Lord wanted. The Lord could see that he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He did what was right. But not with a loyal heart. His heart wasn't right. See, doing what is right in the sight of the Lord is faithfulness. But then there's something else that God's looking for that goes beyond faithfulness. Now, faithfulness is important. Faithfulness is important. Faithful people are hard to find. They're hard to come by. In fact, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 says, most men will proclaim his own goodness, how good they are, how just, how wonderful they are. But who can find a faithful man? And it leaves the idea that it's hard to find one. It's hard to find a real faithful person. We think of faithfulness, we think of somebody that shows up on time. They work hard. They're committed to the job. They're committed to what they're given to do. They do it with integrity. And they're dependable. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about a faithful person, right? You can count on them. You know they're going to be there. They're dependable. A lot of people are always trying to get out of doing what they're supposed to do. They're always looking for an easier way, a cheaper way to do it. They're looking to cut corners, you know, try to get around, you know, having to do it exactly the way they're supposed to do it. Now, Amaziah, he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. So I don't think he cut corners. I believe he was faithful. I believe he was committed to the task that the Lord had given him. He did it with integrity. He did what was right in the sight of the Lord across the board. He was diligent with his work. Showed up on time. Was obedient. But yet, that wasn't enough. He was still disloyal He didn't have a loyal heart. I remember one time we went into this restaurant working in the kitchen, and this guy every once in a while would stick his head out of the bathroom and then go back in. And, you know, a little while later, he'd stick his head back out again, and he'd go back in. I said, what's with that guy? He keeps sticking his head out of the bathroom. And my brother John said, oh, he's trying to get out of work. He doesn't want to work. I thought, that's more work. Hiding from the boss? Back then there weren't cell phones, so he wasn't in there, you know, playing some video game. He just didn't want to work. You know, that'll make you even more miserable. It's better to just do your job, work hard, and the day will go by. But sitting there trying to get out of work, man, it just causes things to drag, and people make life tough on themselves. So, you know, and I had someone tell me one time, people don't do what's expected, they do what's inspected. Now, it's not everybody, but a lot of people, they don't do what's expected, they do what's inspected. But even in many cases, it's even hard to find people that do what's inspected. So it's hard to find faithful people. We need to be faithful people. Show up on time, be there, be responsible, be committed, be a person that's dependable, predictable. They know you're going to be there. Now, we have examples of faithful people over here in 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 15, talking about people that were working on the temple. They were looking to make repairs to the temple. And so, you know, they had collected a lot of money. And the Bible says in chapter 12, verse 15, it says, moreover, they did not require an account from the men whose hand they delivered the money to be paid to workmen. For they dealt faithfully. They dealt faithfully. So they were trustworthy. You could trust these guys. They weren't going to steal the money. You knew they were going to do the right thing with the money. Then in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 7, it says, however, there need to be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully, faithfully. So these people are being commended by God in his word. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 12, are you faithful with money? I was amazed when I worked in the food business, restaurant business. I was amazed. I worked as a manager before finally I was able to go into partnership with my brother and have my own little cafe. And all those years, I was amazed, whether managing or owning my own business, I was amazed how many people stole. I mean, I was just amazed how many thieves there were. I mean, just nice, average-looking people. But you turn your back, and they're trying to steal money out of the register. Or they're not putting the money in the register, it's going in their pocket. Or you turn your back, and they're trying to take food out that doesn't belong to them. They're going into the refrigerator, and they're taking food out. I mean, we just saw tons and tons of stealing. People lying and cheating and stealing. I mean, it was rampant. And if it was rampant then, I imagine it's even more so today. Very, very unfaithful people. As Christians, we should never steal. I said, we should never steal. We should never lie. We should be so far above that. We should be faithful. I said, we should be faithful, committed to the Lord, knowing that the Lord is watching us. Like Amaziah, we want to be faithful in the Lord's sight because he's watching. He sees. He sees us pocketing that money. He sees what we're doing with our money and with our time and with the things that he's given to us. And if we want him to increase us and bring more to us, then we need to be honest. We need to be faithful. We need to be trustworthy. And even when it comes to tithing and offering, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 12, it says, then they faithfully, everybody say faithfully. Faithfully brought in the offerings, the tithes, and the dedicated things. See, that is an act of faithfulness. When we come and we consistently are bringing our offerings to the Lord and we're bringing our tithes to him. When we don't bring our tithes, we're not being faithful. We are being unfaithful. I don't want to be on the unfaithful side of things. I want to be faithful to the Lord. I want to be committed to Him. I want to be trustworthy. We want to do His work faithfully. Faithfully. We want to give 110%. We want to give our best. We want to serve Him with all that we have. But again now, God is not just looking for faithfulness. As hard as it is to find faithful people and how we need to grow in faithfulness, that really isn't even where it's supposed to end. We need to go on from there to something much greater. And we see it over here in 2 Chronicles chapter 19. 2 Chronicles, the 19th chapter. It says, "And he commanded them, saying, you shall act in the fear of the Lord faithfully and with a loyal heart." A loyal heart. See, whenever the Bible's talking about loyalty, it's referring to our hearts. But when the Bible is referring to faithfulness, it's talking about our works, our actions, our serving, the things we do. God wants more than our service. He wants our heart. So He's not just looking for faithfulness in His sight, what He can see in the natural, the works that we produce. He's looking for our hearts to be fully committed to Him. That's what the Lord's looking for. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9 says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to Him." Loyal to Him. Everybody say loyal. Loyal to Him. That's what God's looking for. God's looking for loyalty. Now, another translation says, whose hearts are perfect towards Him. Loyalty. A loyal heart is a perfect heart, and we want to walk in the perfect will of God for our life. And the perfect will of God is having a perfect heart, and a perfect heart is a loyal heart. So we're not just being committed in works and in our actions. We want to be committed with our hearts. Because remember, Jesus even talked about someone that came into the temple. He was a Pharisee. And he came in the temple and he prayed. And he came before the Lord praying, said, "Father, I thank God, I thank you that I'm not like other men." And then he began to boast of all that he did. One of the things that he did was he paid his tithes. Right? He said, "I tithe." That's a good thing. You need to be a faithful tither. You need to be a faithful giver. You need to be faithful to serving God. You need to be faithful and committed to the things that He's entrusted to you. But that man's heart was not right. That man's heart was not loyal to the Lord. Even though he prayed, he tithed, and he did all these things, his heart still wasn't right. So we don't want to just have outward devotion. We want to be devoted from the inside out. Now, faithfulness, again, deals with works, but loyalty always deals with the heart. Faithfulness has good works, but loyalty has God's heart. Faithfulness honors externally, but loyalty honors eternally. In other words, only death can separate a person from who they're loyal to. But you have an example of that over in the book of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite woman who married into a family of Israelites. And the wife, her mother-in-law's name was Naomi. And Naomi's husband died in the land of Moab. They had traveled to the land of Moab because there was a famine in the land of Israel. And during that time, the father died. And then her two sons, Naomi's two sons, died. And so that left Ruth, her daughter-in-law, a widow. And so she actually had another daughter-in-law. So these two daughter-in-laws were widows, and Naomi was a widow. And the day came where Naomi decided she was going to travel back to the land of Israel. Chapter 1, verse 7, it says, therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws with her. And they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest each in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, surely we will return with you to your people. But Naomi said, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? And are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I'm too old to have a husband. And so she's encouraging them to go back. And then in verse 14, it says, then they lifted up their voices and wept again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Now, they both have been very faithful, and they've taken good care of Naomi. She just said that. And they both are determined to stay with her. But Naomi says, no, 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 you need to go back. You know, the conditions are not good with me. You need to go back. There's a better life for you. God will bless you. And she was encouraging them to turn back. And so they lifted their voices and wept. And the one daughter-in-law kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth clung to her. And she said, look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. And wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. Now we see the difference in these two daughter-in-laws. They both wept. They both wanted to stay with her. They wanted to be there and support her and help her. But through enough encouragement, the one daughter-in-law turned back. And yet Ruth could not be turned back. She said, let nothing but death come between you and I. Orpah, she was faithful. But Ruth was a clinger. She was loyal. Her heart was totally sold out, committed, even unto death. That's the difference. I think that's a great example of the difference between faithfulness and loyalty. Faithfulness has limits, but loyalty has no end. There's no end to loyalty. It's a life connection. My life for your life. It's that loyalty that Jesus talked about when he said, no greater love does a person have than this, to lay down his life for his friend. It's a laying down of your life. The circumstances and the conditions do not change things. Faithfulness can change with the conditions, because faithfulness is based on conditions. But loyalty is unconditional, because it's rooted in God's love, that unconditional love of God. So a person, they're faithful to their job. But if the conditions change, if the pay goes down, if the position that they thought they were going to have goes to somebody else. I've been so faithful. I have been committed. I mean, I should have that position because I'm a faithful person. I'm the most faithful person here. I'm always on time. Everybody else is late, and that guy gets the position. Why haven't I gotten a raise yet? And next thing you know, faithfulness now is no longer faithful because the conditions changed. Faithfulness is based on conditions. Loyalty is based on unconditional love. It is of the heart. Its commitment goes beyond the conditions. This is what God's looking for from you and I. He wants us to serve Him in life with a loyal heart. We serve Him not based on conditions. Our commitment is unconditional. Nothing can change it. It doesn't matter how it's treated. It doesn't matter how much people change. It's committed. It's committed. Death do us part. We are committed to following the Lord and His plan for our life, to do His will. Not just like Orpah, who was a kissy worshiper, we could say, but like Ruth, who was a clinger and was determined, would never let go. But no matter what happened, she was not going to let go. That's how you and I need to be in life. We're supposed to live out of that unconditional love of God, and that's what loyalty is rooted in. Faithfulness can change when conditions change, but loyalty is the same regardless. Keeping our heart right is more important to God than keeping our job, our ministry, our family, even our lives in this world. How people know God's trying to take us further? He wants us to go further. He doesn't. He wants us to be faithful. Now we see that even with Jesus' disciples. He had 12 disciples. They all started out faithful. And then one became unfaithful. And that was Judas. And he changed. And they were all faithful. And they were all committed to following the Lord, committed to Him. And then on that night when Jesus was being betrayed, right before that all took place, Peter even said, "Lord, I would die for you." I mean, he really believed. He was fully committed to the Lord with his whole heart. But when his life was actually threatened, he fled from the Lord and he went to save his life. And then later on, he denied that he even knew him, denied that he even knew the Lord. So here these guys were faithful. Then they all acted unfaithfully when the pressure really came. Judas became unfaithful to the point of becoming a devil, possessed of the devil. But then we know later on, after Jesus rose from the dead and visited with them and they were restored to him, they went on to become loyal. They started out faithful, but they went on and became loyal, and they all laid down their life for the Master gladly. They all were willing to suffer and die, and they didn't draw back even from death. He had their heart. It didn't start there, but that's where they ended. So, we need to grow in faithfulness. It's dangerous not to grow in faithfulness. Because if we don't grow in faithfulness, then we will be becoming unfaithful. We'll be going in the direction of Judas. If we're not moving on to faithfulness, onto loyalty, then we're going the other direction. And there are a lot of folks that have become unfaithful, even to the point of being like Judas. It's a dangerous place to be. We have to guard our hearts. I said we have to guard our hearts. We have to protect our hearts more than anything else. Like we talked about last time, the devil's not after your finances. The devil's not after your health. He's after your heart. And he'll mess with your finances. He'll mess with your health if he can. He'll mess with all these different natural things in order to get to your heart, to get you to turn against the Lord in your heart, to reject him, not believe in him. But our commitment in him is to be ever growing and increasing and becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. So we need to be becoming more and more faithful, but we're looking past faithfulness and we are wanting to be loyal. In other words, we're not just looking at our service and checking up on our works. You need to check up on your works. Because again, if you're not being faithful, you're not going to be loyal. Because faithfulness comes before loyalty. You got to have faith. We got to have that. So yeah, you look and you look at your track record in the natural. You look at your prayer life. You look at your job. You look at your work. And you look and think, I got to tweak this. I got to fix this. I got to get better at this. I got to be more diligent. I got to be more prompt. And so we're on top of ourselves in our works because we want to be faithful, but we're not just looking at our works and tweaking that and getting better in our service. We're always checking up on our heart and making sure our hearts are humble and fully committed to him, that our heart is always in the right place, because we want to develop a loyal heart. So when we're worshiping God, make sure your worship is not just outward. Thank God you got to church. Praise God. Thank God you lifted your hands. Thank God you sang a song or two. Glory be to God. Said praise the Lord. That's just wonderful. Now make sure your heart's always in it. Make sure your heart's always in it. Don't just be satisfied with that you did the good job on the outside. Check up on your attitude. Check up what's going on the inside of you. You could treat people great and think, man, I treated them great. Okay. But what was going on in your heart? Man, I can't believe them. They're so stupid. I wouldn't do that. I'd do it totally different. If that was me, I'd do it totally different. Yes, no, that's great. I'll do exactly what you tell me. I don't know, man, stupidest thing in the world. But I'll do it, you know. I mean, I'm faithful. I'm a faithful man. Lord, I'm obedient and faithful. And, you know, I'll do it for the guy. But people are like ventriloquists, you know. Yeah, the lips aren't moving, but they're talking. You know what I'm saying? They're talking, but their lips aren't moving. And they're talking to themselves on the inside all the time. See what I'm saying? And a lot of times it'll leak out on the outside if they get around some people at home. You know, because it's always safe at home to talk to people at home. Two-faced. Double-minded. Say one thing, believe another thing. Act loyal. Act committed. Do all the right things outwardly, inwardly, murmuring, griping, complaining, all this negative stuff going on the inside. Doubt, unbelief. I really don't believe in this, but, you know, I'm doing it because I'm faithful. And you are. Outwardly, you're faithful. You're doing all the right things. You're saying all the right things, doing all the right things. Everything's great on the outside. But you're letting yourself get by on the inside with all kinds of things that are very displeasing to the Lord. We don't want to be displeasing to him on the inside and just pleasing to him on the outside. We don't want to be like Amaziah. Did all the right things in his sight, but our hearts weren't right before him. Our hearts weren't loyal. We want to make sure our hearts are connected to our actions. So if we're faithful on the outside, we do it with a loyal heart. We do it. And you can control what you're thinking and what you're believing in your heart. I said you control that. It isn't just based on circumstances. It doesn't matter how people act, how they treat you. None of that matters. You on the inside can esteem them. You can love them. You can appreciate them. You can adore them. You could want to help them. You could want to be a blessing to them. Regardless of, even if they're doing negative things, you can stay loyal to them. In other words, you can love them and be committed to them and believe in them in your heart, not just with your actions. And I believe that's the difference between a hireling and a true servant of the Lord. A hireling just does everything outwardly. It seems good, looks good, does all the right things outwardly, but inwardly things aren't right. But a true servant of the Lord is one who serves from the inside out. Man, you're getting their heart. We can't just have it on the outside. We got to have the right thoughts, the right feelings, the right attitude, the right believing on the inside. We got to have loyalty. We got to have love. Everybody say love. Love's a God thing, isn't it? And that's what loyalty is rooted in. I said that's what loyalty is rooted in. Faithfulness is passionate with purpose, but loyalty is possessed with love. Revelation chapter 2, notice this here, he's talking to the church at Ephesus. He says in verse 2, I know your works. Everybody say works. Your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. You have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Praise God. How many people would love the Lord Jesus to say that to you? Stand there on that day, Jesus looks at you. He says, man, you've been patient, you have persevered, you found out those who were liars and you exposed them. I mean, you did everything right, you had tremendous outreach, you helped all kinds of people. You did all the right things. Verse 4, nevertheless. Nevertheless. It would be so good if there wasn't a nevertheless. It would just be great if it stopped there. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Now, he's talking to the church. Who do you think their first love is? Himself. And he says, you guys have all this outreach, you got all these great things going on, you got all this ministry, you're patient, you're standing there, you're not putting up with a bunch of nonsense. I mean, you're faithful to my word, you're preaching the truth, you're doing all these great things, da-da-da-da, but your heart left me. You don't love me. You love your work, you love your ministry. I love my job. I love my job. You love your job. You love what you do, but you've left your first love. You've left me. That's what we have to watch out for. We always got to be checking on, how's my heart doing? Am I growing more in love with God? Watch about just commending yourself for serving God. I went to church on Wednesday night. You see how many people didn't show up on Wednesday night service? I always show up on Wednesday night. I'm always there, God. And have you seen my giving? And by the way, you know, I pray every day. Like, I have devotional time. I spend, and I read the Bible all the time. And I don't listen to a bunch of junky stuff. I don't watch junky stuff. Man, I listen to Pastor Stevens teaching CDs. I mean, I'm always trying to fill myself up with the Word of God. I am faithful to these things. And yet, even though that might be true, you could have left your first love. And you might have left him years ago. If you weren't watching. If you weren't guarding your heart. God wants us to check up on our hearts, guard our hearts, not just check up on our works, commend ourselves for our works. He wants us to make sure our hearts are fully committed to him. That we have loyal hearts, that our hearts are perfect in his sight, because that's his perfect will for our life. We don't want to be like the church of Ephesus. We don't want to just have it outwardly. We want to have it inwardly and outwardly. Can you say amen? So we want to be faithful in our works, but we want to be loyal with our hearts. Fully committed, fully surrendered to the Lord, to His purpose, to His plan. And when we do the job that He sends us to do, we do it with all our heart as unto Him and not unto men. So we see Him in those men. We see Him in the people that we're serving because we're serving them as unto Him. We're doing it all as unto Him. So we see Him. We're looking to Him. We're keeping our hearts right with God. I want to be a loyal person, not just a faithful person. How about you? I want to be a clinger, not just a kisser. I don't want to just be kissy-kissy. I want to be a clinger. Amen? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 20, He said it this way, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." And then He goes on, He says this in the next verse, verse 21. "You have heard that it was said to those of old," in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, "you shall not murder. And whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you," under the New Covenant, "that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Jesus begins to deal with the heart. Under the Old Covenant, He dealt with their works. But under the New Covenant, He's looking for your heart. He doesn't want just that, "I never murdered anybody. But yet you've been angry and resentful and unforgiving and bitter towards other people." "I'd never murder anybody." I'm reminded of the rich young ruler. He came to Jesus. He said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said, "You know the commandments." And Jesus lists the commandments to him. And his response was, "Lord, I've kept all that from my youth. I've kept all that from my youth." And in Matthew's gospel, he said to the Lord, "What must I do to be perfect?" Jesus said, "If you want to be perfect, if you want to be perfect, sell all that you have, give to the poor, and come, take up your cross, and follow me." And the Bible says he turned away from the Lord, very sorrowful, because he had many riches. "Lord, I've kept all those commandments from my youth." But you see, the Lord didn't have his heart. His heart was not, "Look, kept the commandments. I believe he did. He was confident about it." But his heart had covetousness in it. His heart was not fully committed to the Lord. He was a kisser. He kissed the Lord all through his youth, kissing the Lord, worshiping the Lord, keeping his commandments. But he didn't keep his heart right with God. He didn't make sure his heart was loyal to the Lord. Jesus saw it, recognized it, told him what to do, and he wasn't willing to do it. Wasn't willing to do it, just went away sad. Isn't that sad? That's so sad that he went away sad. So sad that he went away sad. We should never go away sad. We should always go away happy, because we're going to go do what he's called us to do. We're not going to turn our backs on him for anything. For anything. That man turned his back on Jesus because of material things. Orpah, she turned her back on her mother-in-law. She left her because she saw a better life. The conditions had changed. Circumstances weren't the same anymore. And so she turned back. She turned back. But Ruth didn't turn back. We need to be like Ruth. That's why that's in the Bible. We need to be clingers. We're clingers. We are committed. What does that mean? We are committed from the inside out. We're not just committed in our actions. We're committed in our attitude. We're not just committed in what we say. We're committed in what we think and how we believe. And we believe right from the inside out because we're serving the Lord and we want to be fully pleasing to Him. And how many people know? He's believing the best of everybody. That's what love does, right? Love believes the best of everybody. That's what loyalty does. Loyalty is believing good things concerning those that it's loyal to. Faithfulness is behaving good, doing good, but it just stops there. But we're not going to stop there. We're going to go on to loyalty. Hallelujah. Praise God. Loyalty has the heart of its leader, whoever that might be in life. Faithfulness will do what it's supposed to do. It has the marching orders. It has the commands. It has the responsibilities that it's been given. But loyalty has the heart. It's a heart connection. And we're heart people. And we're not looking to just know people according to the flesh. We're heart people. We lay our life down for the brethren. We lay our life down for the Lord. We're heart connecting people. We give people our heart, and our hearts are full of love. Unconditional love. The love of God's been poured out into our heart by the Holy Spirit. And that's what comes out of us when we are around other people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.